Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, at verse 13. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers and ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know him. I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you. How rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death and seated him at his right side in the heavenly world. Christ rules there above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers, and lords. He has a title superior to all titles of authority in this world and in the next. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over all things. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him who himself completes all things everywhere.
This letter to the Ephesians is crammed full of descriptions of the Holy Spirit. It says an awful lot about his work, and we're going to think about this particular passage from Ephesians chapter 1 today. And I want to just suggest four images in this passage that we've had read out to us that describe some of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. So as we're thinking of the Holy Spirit, we're remembering that he is a person, he is part of the Godhead, and he is at work in our lives. So the first, and these are all very vivid illustrations that Paul gives us in this chapter of Ephesians 1. And the first one is, the Holy Spirit is a seal of belonging, a seal of belonging. So the Holy Spirit's presence in a Christian is a bit like a label to mark us out that we belong to God, that we're his. In order for us to identify or something belonging to us, we sometimes label it, don't we, or write our signature in it to remind people that it belongs to us, that we are the owners of it. So the Bible describes this mark of belonging as a seal. And that was a vivid image in Bible days. And as goods or documents were sealed up with a special sealing wax, which, while still warm, could be imprinted or stamped with the owner's seal or special imprint to convey who it belonged to. And that illustration comes from the sort of commercial trading that was going on in Bible times, a little bit different to the way that we shop today, but the illustration is being used from the kind of trading that was going on in Bible times in that day. And this is how it would work. A merchant who was trading at the beginning of the day, he would purchase things as he was going around the marketplace. Now, he wouldn't have a supermarket trolley to carry things around. They didn't have, obviously, those things in those days. So he would mark them with his distinctive seal, as I've just described, and leave them at an appropriate place and go back at the end of the day when he'd finished his trading and pick up his packages. They're obviously a bit more trusting in those days. But that's how it would work. That's how, and that's where this illustration comes from, that we're a seal marked out as belonging to God. So like an old-fashioned seal, we are marked out as belonging to God because of the Holy Spirit within us. Proof of identity that can never be forged, never altered, never changed. Living proof that we belong to God. So the Holy Spirit then is a kind of assurance to us in our lives, evidence that we belong to God, that we're part of his kingdom. So whenever we're aware of an urge to reach out for God's love, to be reassured of his companionship, to receive his empowering, we do so because of the Holy Spirit within us. He testifies deep within our spirits that we belong to God. And we need that assurance in life. I need that assurance in life at times. Romans 8, verse 16, a link verse says, "The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Young children often need reassurance, don't they? They often need reassurance that they belong to their family, that they're part of, that they're connected to their mum and dad. They're like that. They need to know that they're loved, cherished, and that they belong. As children of God, as adults, we too need that assurance that we belong to God. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring that assurance. He's like a seal of belonging in our lives. So that's the first vivid illustration. The second is what's mentioned in verse 14 in that passage, that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of an inheritance, a guarantee of inheritance. People sometimes get disappointed over the inheritance that they thought was coming to them, can't they? There is less than they thought. Maybe they get cut out of somebody's will as well. Sadly, disputes arise in families, often over inheritances. You know what they say, where there's a will, there's a family. I remember an ex-colleague of mine recalling a particular visit that he was making back to his parents' home, and he was with his two of his siblings were also there for this visit, and they were visiting their parents who live in one of the Inner Hebridean Islands. And during the weekend, my colleague's mum took her three children outside the house and said, "Listen, I wanted to talk to you about your inheritance. You see that field over there? That's your inheritance." And unknown to my colleague, he played on that field as a young boy, just not far from where his parents' house was, not knowing that he was actually playing on top of his inheritance. We have an incredible inheritance coming to us as Christians, one that really is incredible and exciting for us, one that we'll never be disappointed over, unlike some people's maybe inheritance, a future stored up for us that goes beyond this life, life eternal, God's desire to remake and restore our world, heaven and earth being fused together. We've got an incredible inheritance coming to us as Christians. And a sign that guarantees that future hope is the Holy Spirit within us. Because he's been poured out into our lives, that's a sure promise that all that God has planned for the future will happen. We can be certain about that. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a tad optimistic. Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our lives, that is a guaranteed sign that the future that God has planned for us will happen. And it's like also that the Holy Spirit is like a foretaste of that future to come. Hebrews 6 verse 5 says, explains it this way, "Because we share in the Holy Spirit, we have a kind of taste of the power of the age to come." Because we experience the reality and the blessing and the power of God at work in our lives and living this Christian life, we can have a taste of the goodness of God that will one day remake the whole cosmos. That's God's plan, not to throw away our world, but to restore it and to remake it, to get all of the wrong things out of it and to restore it and to remake it. That's our fantastic inheritance that is coming to us, that we can encouraged by. And as the text says, that's our hope that we're looking forward to. The third vivid picture that the text tells us is that the Holy Spirit is a means of revelation. The text says that in verse 17, the Spirit will give wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus better. The Spirit will give wisdom and revelation that we may know Jesus better. A linked verse to this is what comes in chapter 5 of Ephesians when it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. As I've said, there's lots of references to the Holy Spirit throughout this whole letter. So the Bible's saying there, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So just to be clear, this verse is not saying that we can't drink alcohol, okay? Just to be very clear on that. But what it's doing is, the writer here is painting a contrast for us. He's describing a contrast for us of how we know that too much alcohol, excessive alcohol, can powerfully, adversely affect you, can't it? And encouraging us with the fact that we're called to live under another powerful influence, the Holy Spirit himself. And see, because that's the thing, isn't it, when we think about excessive alcohol. That can cloud our vision, can't it? We can't see things clearly. We're not able to make wise judgments because our judgment is impaired if we're drunk. We can't take things in. Our minds get dulled. So the contrast is that the Holy Spirit clarifies our vision of God. He makes God clear to us. He enables us to understand God better, to know him more and more, to see things that matter, to help us in our ongoing discovery of who God is. And as the verse says, we can be helped to live more wisely as a result. So the Holy Spirit brings revelation to our lives in order to help us understand what God has blessed us with. In order, as verse 18 says, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So God, by the Holy Spirit, inspires us with hope for the future that is to come, that we've just thought about, to inspire us and remind us and encourage us with that hope. So the Holy Spirit then is always directing us towards God. He wants us and helps us to see the bigger picture in life and to enable us to experience the resources of God in our lives. So he's a means of revelation. And then fourthly, he's a source of power for our lives too. The writer reminds his readers of the incomparably great power to those who believe. That's what the text says. His incomparably great power to those who believe. So the fact that the Holy Spirit is continually in the presence of God and also within us puts us, as Christians, in direct access to draw on God's strength and energy through the power of a person, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever gone to make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and you've switched on the kettle and you've come back a few minutes later to find that the kettle hasn't boiled, nothing's happened, and you've discovered that you haven't switched the main switch on? Yeah, I do that quite often and forget to switch the main switch on. Well, the Holy Spirit is a bit like that. He's like the mains connection to God's power supply. And we need to switch the switch on. We need his empowering in our lives. We need God's power to live out what it means to live the Jesus life, to equip us for serving, to fulfill the purposes of God, to live as a witness for Jesus, to energize us to serve him. I've heard people say when viewing the Christian life, I couldn't keep that up. That's too hard. That's too difficult. Or I'd never be able to fulfill those values and principles that the Christian life stands for. As if living the Christian life is about striving in our own strength to do something or to live a particular way. But we're not meant to try to live that way, are we? We need the help of the Holy Spirit. God has provided us with the gift of the Holy Spirit in order for us to live out what this means to follow Jesus. So we're not meant to live this Christian life on our own. God has promised us a helper, as John's gospel describes it, or some of the other words that are translated as advocate, as counselor, as comforter, as encouraging. Fantastic words, aren't they, to describe the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Here's one of the definitions or a description of the Holy Spirit, which I particularly like, is essentially one who comes alongside us to help. I love that description. One who comes alongside us to help. So his engagement with us is fellowship, not domination. His engagement, the Holy Spirit's engagement with us is fellowship. It's a relationship because fellowship is an interactive term, isn't it? And that's how the Holy Spirit works with us. It's a relationship that we enjoy with him. You know the doxology that we often say, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever kind of just paused to think about that, because it's, as I say, it's an interactive term. It's fellowship. It's not domination. It's like the Holy Spirit respects us for who we are, but recognizes that we need the help and power of God at work in our lives to live out this thing called life as God intended. That's why the Holy Spirit is often referred to as God's empowering presence. So we need to engage with this power source to get help to pray, because often I struggle sometimes to know how to pray and how to get the words out, and then the Holy Spirit can help us. We need the Holy Spirit help to serve the purposes of God. We need the Holy Spirit's help to live out God's guidelines for living that I've just been thinking about there. We need his help to bear witness for Jesus. We need his help to live out holy lives. We need the Holy Spirit in order to help us to do all those things. And that's God's intention for us. We are to go on depending on the Holy Spirit and his empowering. We're to enjoy this fellowship, not domination, but fellowship, as we interact with him, as we draw on God's resources and energy in order for us to serve him. May that be our motivation and our desire as followers of Christ. Let's just pause for a moment, and I'm just going to pray just briefly, and then we'll continue with our service. Father, thank you on this day when we remember your gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that he represents, all that he brings to our lives. And as we thought already with the children, although we can't see him, we can sense and feel and experience and notice the difference that he makes in our lives. We thank you for his continued presence. We thank you that he invites us into fellowship with him, where he, as we've been thinking about it, he respects us for who we are, but recognizes we need his help in order to live out what it means to follow Jesus. And we thank you for that wonderful gift that you've made possible for us. Help us, each and one, every one of us, to access his power as you would wish. In Jesus' name, amen.